The business world has long been captivated by Jenny Vasquez Newsom's groundbreaking work, Untapped Leadership. Since its release, this thought-provoking examination of leadership has garnered attention from Fortune 500 executives and diversity advocates alike, with Oprah Winfrey calling it required reading for anyone serious about transforming workplace culture. The book has become a staple in MBA programs nationwide and has been credited with inspiring several major corporations to completely overhaul their leadership development frameworks. What makes Vasquez Newsom's approach so revolutionary is her willingness to challenge the very foundation upon which traditional leadership theory stands. By examining leadership through the lens of marginalized perspectives, she reveals how our narrow understanding has limited innovation and perpetuated inequity in ways most of us never recognized. Leadership, as we understand it today, rests on a troublingly narrow foundation. Dating back to the 1840s, Thomas Carlyle's Great Man Theory proposed that history is shaped by divinely favored men born with inherent leadership traits, conveniently excluding women, people of color, and anyone outside the elite. Though we might dismiss this as antiquated thinking, its influence persists in our hero worship of predominantly white male leaders. Francis Galton's eugenics-based research further cemented the trait approach by attempting to scientifically prove leadership qualities were inherited through lineage. While eugenics has been discredited, its influence on our subconscious leadership perceptions remains surprisingly strong. The 1940s brought behavioral theories from Ohio State University, categorizing leadership as either task-focused or people-focused. Officials consider this work revolutionary, yet it occurred when Black students weren't even allowed to live on campus. Without acknowledging this context, we've built extensively on frameworks that never questioned whether leadership behaviors were actually tied to fitting into dominant culture. Situational theories emerged in the 1960s alongside the civil rights movement, proposing that leadership success depends on the situation rather than just behaviors or traits. Fiedler's contingency model examined factors like a leader's ability to gain trust from followers using subjective assessments like pleasant versus unpleasant. With racial discrimination as the societal backdrop, race would undoubtedly influence both results and a marginalized leader's ability to gain workplace trust. Yet these deeper contextual factors were ignored. More recently, trait theories have reemerged, listing characteristics like agreeableness, extroversion, and creativity as innate leader traits. For leaders of color navigating challenging environments, expressing these supposedly innate traits becomes difficult. Creativity doesn't flow easily when you're the only person of color without a sense of belonging. Agreeableness takes on a different meaning when you must endure microaggressions or pay inequity. What if we were to study leadership today with more inclusive perspectives? We'd likely discover nuanced definitions that both complement and challenge traditional approaches. Building a new foundation requires centering previously overlooked perspectives and allowing new voices to develop frameworks that address our most persistent challenges. Because leadership is associated with power, those who define leadership hold tremendous authority. Only a select group, typically from unearned positions at the top of our social hierarchy, have had the opportunity to create these definitions, thereby solidifying their power. This limited perspective influences who we consider qualified to lead, reflected in stark statistics. Women of color account for only 4% of C-suite leaders, while Black, Latinx, and Asian CEOs remain severely underrepresented in Fortune 500 companies. Popular leadership authors, typically white men, offer simplified strategies that don't acknowledge the privilege behind their expertise or address the complex realities faced by leaders with marginalized identities. Despite cringing at great man theory in academic discussions, we continue practicing it in subtle ways. We've become accustomed to categorizing people based on personality and behavior, using assessments like Myers-Briggs Type Indicator to predict outcomes. While understanding different styles can help collaboration, this sorting often leads to harmful categorization that disadvantages those with marginalized identities. Our society particularly values gregarious, verbal communicators, typically men who command rooms through speech. Studies show men speak significantly more in professional settings and interrupt women 33 times more often than other men. Communication patterns like mansplaining undermine others' expertise and mute diverse contributions. We prioritize extroverts, drivers, and challengers in traditional frameworks, expecting leaders to command and control. This approach assigns leadership to those expressing ideas with gusto while overlooking quieter voices. The expectation to compartmentalize, separating work from life and presenting only a polished professional self, places a heavier burden on those who don't align with dominant culture. For them, there's more to check at the door. While compartmentalization is deemed a strength, it's an unfair expectation, especially for those navigating intersections of race, gender, and other identities. Despite necessary discussions on diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI, these efforts often become ancillary or performative because they don't address the problematic foundation of leadership. Organizations bring in consultants or executives to focus on DEI initiatives, but without depth or structural change, these efforts fail and burn out the people leading them. Common examples include one-off training sessions, superficial hiring quotas, or diversity committees that lack real decision-making power or resources to implement meaningful changes. We don't often recognize the connection between dominant leadership perspectives and lack of representation in top roles, but the connection is there. When we consume leadership theories developed by a dominant group studying themselves, we develop biases toward those perspectives because they're familiar and abundant. For instance, many traditional leadership models emphasize traits like assertiveness, competitiveness, and hierarchical authority, characteristics historically associated with male leadership in Western cultures. This creates misleadership, limited and limiting definitions that carry excessive weight despite their narrow perspective. Organizations committed to diversity must examine their leadership culture to understand whose leadership is valued, both explicitly and implicitly. This requires challenging the way things have always been done to stop overlooking the contributions of marginalized team members. This means scrutinizing everything from promotion criteria and performance evaluations to meeting dynamics and informal mentorship opportunities. For example, organizations might need to reconsider whether they value only those who speak up most forcefully in meetings or if they're missing quieter but equally valuable leadership styles. To address representation gaps, we must shift toward valuing perspectives traditionally sidelined. The conventional view that leaders possess 30,000-foot perspectives creates distance that misses critical ground-level realities. Those on lower rungs of social hierarchies often understand human relations and social realities better than those with dominant perspectives who may miss the complete picture. For instance, frontline workers might better understand customer needs or operational challenges than executives who rarely interact directly with either. Feminist theorist Sandra Harding's standpoint theory reveals how academic scholarship stems from homogeneous communities of knowers, typically cisgendered, heterosexual, white males. Though scientific methods claim objectivity, they're infused with researchers' standpoints. Those atop social hierarchies often miss critical insights due to their distance from others' lived realities. By contrast, marginalized individuals better identify essential questions and complex problems because they navigate multiple social realities simultaneously. For example, women leaders often develop stronger emotional intelligence and inclusive decision-making approaches because they've had to navigate both dominant and marginalized spaces throughout their careers. This understanding demands a fundamental shift in how we define and develop leadership. Rather than trying to fit diverse candidates into traditional leadership molds, organizations need to expand their conception of what effective leadership looks like. This might include valuing collaborative approaches over competitive ones, emphasizing emotional intelligence alongside technical expertise, and recognizing the strategic advantage of leaders who can bridge different cultural perspectives and experiences. Beyond structural systems, traditional leadership consistently marginalizes those whose identities don't align with white, cis, hetero, and male norms. Yet marginalized leaders possess particularly powerful leadership qualities that stem from their unique lived experiences. They combine traditional business knowledge with essential perspectives from their standpoint, allowing them to craft more meaningful workplace questions that get to the root of systemic issues. Their ability to see both dominant and alternative viewpoints enables them to identify blind spots and opportunities that others might miss. Due to navigating challenging work environments, they've developed sophisticated toolkits with greater ingenuity and skill than those with traditional profiles. Leaders of color navigate more complex terrain daily, from microaggressions to code switching to implicit bias, and therefore possess unique expertise and a more layered understanding of work challenges. Their manufactured positionality in society has given them a nuanced perspective that makes them better equipped to lead in diverse, global environments. This includes advanced emotional intelligence, adaptability, resilience, and the ability to build bridges across different groups. Shifting where we look for leadership naturally creates resistance and uncertainty, even among those with marginalized identities themselves. This discomfort stems from the significant unlearning required and consideration of unfamiliar leadership approaches that challenge established power structures. When feeling resistance, we should pause to explore its source, whether it comes from potential loss of status, financial benefits, security, or autonomy as the spotlight shifts. Organizations must acknowledge that this resistance is natural while still pushing forward with necessary changes. Following George Floyd's murder in 2021, organizations scrambled to respond with diversity and inclusion efforts, some genuine, many performative. A Procter & Gamble commercial titled "Widen the Screen" powerfully demonstrated how limited perspectives create false assumptions about Black life by showing scenarios where viewers' biases fill in negative narratives before revealing the complete, ordinary reality. This illustrates leadership's fundamental problem. When we limit our view, we either falsely believe we see the full picture or complete it based on biased past experiences. Similar examples can be found in how media portrayal of women leaders often focuses on their appearance or personality rather than their achievements, or how LGBTQ+ leaders face pressure to downplay their identities. The path forward requires actively seeking out and amplifying diverse leadership voices, not as tokens, but as vital sources of organizational wisdom. This means creating systems that identify and develop talent from underrepresented groups, establishing mentorship programs, and building inclusive cultures where different leadership styles are valued. Organizations that successfully embrace leadership from the margins often see improved innovation, stronger employee engagement, and better business outcomes through their enhanced ability to understand and serve diverse stakeholders. Stealth technology, developed during the Cold War to prevent radar tracking of warplanes, operates on the principle of remaining undetected, similar to how species use camouflage to hide from predators. Leaders of color adopt stealth-like approaches to achieve outcomes at work, subduing aspects of themselves because professional environments weren't designed with their types of leadership in mind. Despite diversity and inclusion initiatives, marginalized leaders still require a layer of camouflage to avoid being flagged as foreign objects in their own organizations. They must signal they're safe, play within bounds, and lead in traditionally expected ways, even when they recognize the limitations of those approaches. Leaders of color develop heightened environmental awareness in professional spaces, constantly scanning for potential bias and threats. They must navigate cautiously, as a misstep can create outsized consequences. A wrong word can mark them as an other. A misinterpreted tone can create lasting negative impressions. When entering meetings, they automatically assess, how many other people of color are present? What are their roles? Who holds formal and informal authority? How are decisions made? Leaders of color face additional complexity in decision-making, knowing their choices not only impact immediate tasks, but may be viewed as representative of their entire identity group. The NBA example illustrates this burden. Black coaches, who reached 50% representation only in 2022, despite players being 75% Black, face disproportionate scrutiny, with one failure potentially closing doors for others, while white counterparts repeatedly fail without similar consequences. Marginalized leaders work double duty, fulfilling job descriptions while simultaneously making paths smoother for others who share their identities. They carry the responsibility of representation into most interactions, prioritizing connections with those who may be othered, and mentoring those following in their footsteps. This work remains under the radar because it's often invisible and unrewarded. Self-doubt is a normal human experience that can escalate into imposter syndrome, a broader sense of inadequacy, where we question not just decisions, but our overall abilities and worthiness of success. First identified in high-achieving women in the 1970s as intellectual phoniness by psychologists Pauline Clance and Suzanne Imes, an estimated 70% of people experience this phenomenon at some point in their careers. Despite its prevalence across industries and demographics, we continue addressing it as an individual rather than systemic problem, failing to examine the environmental factors that make it so common in competitive workplaces. For marginalized leaders, imposter syndrome manifests as a more complex challenge. It's the process of exclusionary environments seeping into our self-perception and professional identity. Every microaggression, from being interrupted in meetings to having ideas attributed to others, erodes our sense of belonging, subtly communicating you are an imposter because of our marginalized identities. Research shows there's significant overlap between one's sense of belonging and imposter syndrome in any environment, particularly in industries where certain groups are historically underrepresented. Despite its problematic framing as a personal deficiency, imposter syndrome has hidden utility and potential advantages. It often creates a propensity to double-check work, maintain high standards, and develop heightened self-awareness of both strengths and limitations. Those experiencing imposter syndrome typically develop keen awareness of growth opportunities and work diligently to fill knowledge gaps, leading to stronger skill development. The accompanying inner humility can be advantageous compared to overconfidence, particularly in leadership roles where emotional intelligence and continuous learning are crucial. Companies should prioritize creating environments where employees feel empowered to bring their best selves to work, recognizing that imposter syndrome inhibits this by producing dimmed ideas, quieted approaches, and reduced innovation. The most effective long-term solution would be achieving genuine gender and racial parity in leadership positions and fostering diverse workplaces that actively value varied perspectives and leadership styles. In the shorter term, organizations can take concrete steps by normalizing discussions of self-doubt in supervisory relationships and team meetings, especially when initiated by those in authority positions. This includes implementing mentorship programs, creating affinity groups, and establishing clear feedback channels that help combat isolation and validate experiences. The key to addressing imposter syndrome lies not in fixing individuals, but in transforming workplace cultures that perpetuate it. This includes examining promotion criteria, restructuring feedback processes, and actively working to eliminate subtle biases that contribute to feelings of professional inadequacy among certain groups. Like circus contortionists who bend into seemingly impossible shapes, BIPOC leaders must stretch in unnatural ways to survive and thrive in white-dominant structures. This contortion adopting unfamiliar work styles, mannerisms, processes, and language often goes unnoticed externally, but is necessary for professional advancement. Leaders of color constantly calculate the balance between authenticity and conformity, knowing that straying too far from established norms risks financial and career consequences. The system inherently resists challenges to its comfort, punishing those who bring too much of themselves to work through subtle exclusions, limited responsibilities, or negative performance reviews. While authenticity and vulnerability have become popular leadership frameworks, they present greater challenges for marginalized leaders who have less room to bring their whole selves to work. Recent shifts in leadership rhetoric encourage vulnerability, but this is a much bigger ask for leaders of color who cannot afford to shed their protective armor. code switching has become an essential leadership practice for people of color, requiring them to adjust speech patterns, pronunciations, and inflections to mirror dominant language styles at work. This cognitive talent involves mental scanners that assess environments and respond almost instantly, a skill that could be redirected toward legitimate work challenges rather than language management. Leaders of color must constantly manage their tone, facial expressions, and emotions to thrive professionally. With stereotypes and biases invisibly present in work environments, any emotional expression deviating from positivity risks invoking negative stereotypes. Marginalized leaders are frequently told they are too aggressive, too loud, too quiet, or too passionate, code for too much, even when others exhibit similar behaviors. Like circus contortionists performing increasingly complex feats, professionals of color engage in daily high-stakes adaptability that goes unnoticed and uncelebrated. These marginalized leaders demonstrate extraordinary flexibility by constantly adjusting their self-presentation, assessing environments with unique perspectives, aligning communication styles with workplace expectations, and self-editing without recognition. The zone of untapped capacity sits at the intersection where we experience the world with our power and privilege, and where our marginalized identities offer a powerful standpoint from which to lead. These overlooked aspects of ourselves, those that don't fit traditional leadership notions, provide authentic work experiences that yield valuable assets and skills. By leveraging all our perspectives, rather than downplaying aspects of ourselves, we can create stronger, more inclusive organizations. This zone represents the deeper layers of leadership that might offer answers to persistent challenges, a revolution away from inherited models toward what emerges from within us. To explore your zone of untapped capacity, examine both your privileges and marginalized identities. Consider not just macro-level identities like race or gender, but also micro-level instances where you self-edit or contort your authentic self. By leveraging your power to spotlight otherwise marginalized perspectives, you can have profound impact. Operating within your zone of untapped capacity allows for greater alignment in daily work. The Great Resignation has been more of a great realignment, people reflecting on what hasn't worked for them and rejecting self-reputation. Understanding your zone helps establish guideposts for fulfilling work, with your why directing more intentional engagement with work environments. Organizations benefit when they get the best from their people, resulting in better retention, consistent outcomes, and fulfilling, sustainable performance cultures. Yet many struggle to cultivate each person's best, especially with diverse staff. A major barrier is the hesitancy to engage in productive conflict that allows difficult truths to emerge. Rather than viewing conflict as messy, we should see it as clean, clearing things up, spotlighting issues, and producing our best work. Conflict is additive and beneficial when managed with trust and respect. Organizations can cultivate untapped capacity starting in interviews by asking questions that explore candidates' unique perspectives beyond their resumes. Leadership as traditionally interpreted equals centralized power held by a small, homogeneous subset of society. This concentration of power is one of the most identifiable mechanisms limiting leadership opportunities for others. Organizations must work to decouple leadership from power to allow leadership to exist in more expansive ways. Leaders should offer direction, but then step back from prescribing to describing. The how of work processes should belong to team members, giving them space to innovate, try new approaches, and work authentically. When performance challenges arise, leaders should describe observations, offer supportive feedback, and share suggestions rather than dictating solutions. When decisions come from the top, essential context remains behind closed doors, creating a powerful siphoning of knowledge. Important lessons about strategy, power, and operations are shared with only a select few. Sharing this context with the rest of the team, though radical and potentially risky, benefits everyone. Most organizations struggle with effective feedback, often limiting it to one-directional annual performance reviews. Organizations should embed feedback into daily activities through practices like asking interviewees for input on interview processes, soliciting agenda feedback before meetings, creating space for dissent during meetings, and implementing two-way performance reviews where team members evaluate managers. When leaders show their cards by being honest and open, there's a subtle shift in power. Those with positional authority should admit when they don't know something or feel uncertain about decisions. This requires investing in trust building that may not directly connect to tangible outcomes, but fuels the work tenfold. Those traditionally marginalized in workplaces carry unique expertise in navigating workplace complexities, with keen awareness of interpersonal connections, power dynamics, and vision. Organizations must explicitly invite these perspectives before meaningful action can occur. Beyond invitation, organizations must demonstrate they value these perspectives by giving them equal weight in agenda setting and decision making. Purpose provides guidance, direction, and motivation, especially during challenging times in limiting environments. It helps leaders make meaningful decisions aligned with their values and extends beyond individual success to connect with something larger. While work environments often prioritize action, outcomes, and performance on short timelines, purposeful leadership requires valuing thoughtful processes, intangible impacts, and moments of pause. Purpose can be found not just in grand career missions, but in everyday moments. Marginalized leaders often discover purpose in supporting others on their path, making opportunities more accessible than they found them through mentoring, offering behind-the-scenes support, and making workplaces more inclusive. Effective leadership requires balancing action with strategic inaction. To unlock potential and discover overlooked expertise, leaders must pause to fully understand the context of themselves, others, and the organization. True agility requires preparation and practice, with moments of pause preceding effective action. Marginalized leaders understand leadership as a fleeting privilege that's harder to earn and easier to lose. They reject the great man theory approach, instead viewing leadership as an evolving practice manifested through both grand actions and micro decisions. For leaders of color, leadership isn't about titles or status, but about responsibility to others, themselves, and the world. Finding purpose is rarely the linear journey we're led to expect from childhood. Leaders of color understand that defining purpose beyond career is essential for sustainability and fulfillment, especially when professional realities fall short due to limited opportunities or challenging work cultures. Their experience of marginalization creates a community-minded lens when considering impact. Organizations should integrate team members' purpose and values into onboarding, supervision, and teamwork processes. The traditional check your baggage at the door mentality dims employees' authentic selves when companies actually benefit most when all lights are on. Creating mechanisms for staff to share their deeper purposes builds trust and relationships as team members discover what truly drives their colleagues.